Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Preparation for my sermon this morning, I did what I quite often do, which is read the reading set for the Sunday very early in the week. So I've got some time, perhaps like yourself, to mull over things and sort of think it through. And I reread the short gospel reading several times, and I kept getting struck by Jesus' injunction to love and love and love. And I felt again the great impact of this earth-changing approach to life. What would it look like if the world followed this command? What if we truly lived like this, loving our neighbour as ourself? Is this simply too utopian to even consider? Idealism, perhaps. But call it what we will, what is clear is that Jesus makes this a command. This is not a suggestion, it's not a negotiable, not a do this if everything else is suiting you at the time. Yet to love one another, frankly, just seems so, well, hard. So whenever I hear this command, it seems to me that with it comes a significant amount of discomfort, this command of loving each other, every each other. So where does this command come from? Did Jesus make it up? No. In fact, being the observant Jewish man he was, Jesus teaches this command, which is based upon the command in the book of Leviticus, in the Hebrew Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, to love neighbour as much as self and also God into the bargain. But the kind of love to which he refers is a very different kind of love than the love to which we generally refer. Such has been the influence of romance movies and music and literature that we most often first associate love with romantic love. Love too readily equals that which we see on the big screen, which is necessarily and obviously a different kind of love to that which Jesus is talking about in the gospel this morning. But what of Christian love? What of this love that Jesus demands of us, his followers, such that by this love all will know that we are his disciples? This love, this kind of love, is surely different to that of your Netflix selection. Surely it's different to Love Actually, Notting Hill, Four Weddings and a Funeral, or virtually anything with Hugh Grant in it. Yes, indeed it is. This is quite different. It is the kind of love that sees God become human. And when humans get it right, we glimpse a vision of God. This is the kind of love that is born of risk, of free will, that is complete, all-giving, with an overwhelming desire to build up and nourish into full life the subject of its love. Think of the incarnation and the grand risk that God takes in becoming human, in the form of an infant, such that the world shall know of the great and abiding love God has for creation. Of the riskiness of this event, of placing all the godness of God in the frail shell of a human child, mewling, moaning, dribbling, gurgling, and ever so fragile and frail. It seems to me that the incarnation is therefore an all-in, throw all your cards on the table, nothing to hide kind of act. Such a profound act of self-revealing love and risk that holds nothing back. In the incarnation, the complete love of God is laid as bare as the infant Christ himself. Think too of the crucifixion. This naked infant Son of God will later in life become the naked adult Son of God, not revealed to king and stranger in the wooden embrace of a manger, but outstretched on the wooden arms of a cross, revealed to the world as both king and sacrifice. On the cross, God lives every part of Christ's dictum that greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. In the crucifixion, the complete love of God is laid as bare as the adult Christ himself. And let's not forget the mighty resurrection we celebrate during this period of Easter, in which all of the whole person of Jesus is resurrected, such that he eats, he visits, and he parties with his friends. He goes to barbecues on a beach, and he appears in person to hundreds and hundreds of witnesses. This is no partial showing, no ghostly apparition, no somewhat, no maybe. Thomas himself attests to the whole body of Christ present, holes and wounds duly accounted for. In the resurrection, the complete love of God is laid as bare as the resurrected Christ himself. And as you might suspect, in between these momentous displays of complete love are a whole series of other moments of complete and present love, such that we hear Jesus healing whole persons, whole crowds, whole communities, in an effort to heal the whole world, by seeking to love all at all times into all the fullness of life that God intended. Such a number of displays of the completeness of God's love that our patron saint St. John writes in his Gospel right towards the end, in chapter 21, verse 25, "But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." So when we look at what it means to love after the manner of Jesus, we are bidden to remember that God loves in love's entirety. In his incarnation, in his life, in his crucifixion, and his resurrection, Christ loves completely. And it is in this completeness that we see the true nature of Christian love and distinguish it clearly from the more romantic and popular descriptions of love. What direction, then, do we receive at the hands of our Lord as to the manner in which we should all live as disciples of Christ? Excuse me. We are called principally to be people of Christian love, and thus, after Christ's example, to live and love completely. As Christ himself commanded, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." What we do not hear is "love the Lord your God with some of your heart, a little bit of your soul, a little bit of your strength, and maybe some of your mind, and the neighbours that you would choose." To love as a Christian person is to love using the mind, the body, the spirit. In other words, all faculties of the human person, such that not one part of the person exists without love having suffused it. Lastly, we all seek a way forward through charted and uncharted waters in life. And we must not look no further than Jesus and the manner in which he lived and loved to find our way home. And that is completely, riskily, and all in. Be completely present to that in front of you, in your work, your living, your friendships, your family, your loving, after the manner of Christ, in all fullness and grace, such that each person and each situation will come to know that you are one of Christ's disciples. Love, 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 Christ demanded, such that you may transform both yourself and the world into the image and likeness of him, whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be all glory, power, honour and might, today and forevermore. Amen.